Hello, 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 you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to the African American Link Up. It's Shelly again. I am super excited to be with you all today. I have a very nice, sweet, and slightly controversial episode that I want to talk about on today. But first things first, I want to go over some things that I like to go over. You have the option to share this episode. Share with all of your family, friends, husband, kids, boyfriends, girlfriends, all that stuff. Bonus partners, whatever you do, you know, it's fine. Like, whatever, right? Also, too, you have the option to invest into this particular podcast. You can invest whatever amount you want. It will be perfectly fine with me, okay? Any amount will be greatly appreciated. So, the topic of this particular episode is, are Black immigrants African American? Do I hear crickets? I'll say it again. Are Black immigrants considered African American? Now, when I'm giving my perspective, this is my perspective. It doesn't mean that it is Bible, even though I feel like everything that I say is the truth 99.9% of the time. But this is just my perspective. Okay? So, the first time when I first started interacting with Black immigrants, it was actually African people, my African brothers and sisters. Well, really not the sisters part, but my African brothers. That was the first time, because I grew up in a smaller city. There wasn't a lot of diversity when I was growing up. So all of the people that you met, for the most part, or that you went to school with, were people that were from your city mainly. I didn't go to school with any African people. I didn't go to school with any Caribbean people, or any Black person from any other country or continent or territory, you know, whatever. So, like I said, I didn't start interacting with individuals who were not from this country until I got to college. And I was actually pretty happy about it, right? Okay. So, when I would meet people all the time, and even leading up to today, usually when I meet my friends or strangers who are Black immigrants, they always identify as where they're from and not where they're at. That has been my experience all the time, right? So the average time when every person that I've ever met that happens to be one of our African brothers or sisters, and they're telling me where they're from, they say I'm from Africa, or they say I'm from West Africa, or they say I'm from East Africa, or they say I'm from South Africa. I don't really meet that many South Africans. I've probably only met, that I know of, about three of them in my whole lifetime so far. So that's what, you know, that's what I know. So I know that according to studies, there started to be a huge migration of Africans and Caribbeans. It was in the 1960s, I think around 1965. I gotta look it up to see if there was some type of bill. I think there was maybe some type of bill or something that was passed. So I'm not getting into a lot of the historical specifics per se, because I think this thing only allows me to talk for 45 minutes, and there's so much for me to cover on this particular topic. I almost think that I'm gonna actually run out of time. So I will take pieces of things of important pieces to this and probably tackle them one at a time and use them for different episodes. But I'm gonna just quickly go over my perspective. So that has been my experience. Also, too, what has also been my experience is that for a long time individuals who were either Afro-Latinx or Afro, or who were African or who were Caribbean, I can't say all of them. I'm not going to say that because I can't. I would be lying if I would say that. I would say a good portion of the individuals who I've interacted with, that maybe visibly have some Afro, African ancestry in their makeup, and they completely denied it, like completely. There's a complete denial. Oh, I'm not black, I'm this. Oh, I'm not black, I'm African. Or I'm not black, I'm Caribbean. Oh, I'm not black, I'm French, you know, or something like that. And so for me, when I would hear that, I would always take offense to it, because me growing up, I've always been conditioned, you know, to always kind of embrace all black people, you know, to embrace all people that look like you as well, you know. And so when people would do that, it would just make me feel kind of weird. But weird in a way where, like, this person is denying their blackness. Because what African Americans did was basically take something that was meant to be demeaning and demonizing, and twisted it and made it into pride. Okay? So for me, what African American is, or what an African American person is a person that was born in America. They have both parents that was born in America that happen to be black, or one. Our grandparents that are one grandparent that was possibly born in America that happened to be black, but that has a lineage of the a lineage that dates back to slavery in America. Okay, so it also kind of goes into the whole, and that whole perspective is like kind of goes into the whole one drop rule type of thing. And so it's I'm not saying that it is this is how it should be. I'm just letting you know what I think. Now, the reason why I say this is because what happens is that, because America, around when they start letting everybody in, or a lot of different groups in, what happened is that America sold themselves to be this very inclusive nation. But in that, Black American people, African American people, we have always had to protect our identity. We've always had to protect our culture. We've always had to protect our history. We've always had to protect it. So I personally think that if people would look at the African American experience as more of a tribe than, say, it is, you know, some type of inclusive club that everybody can just be a part of, I think that people would get it, you know, a little better. So it's kind of like, okay, a person that happens to be, okay, say a person that moves to this country, and let's just say they have, both of their parents are from another country. Well, they live in America, and say they've been living in America for 5 years or 7 years or something like that, right? Well, what happens in those said households a lot of times? What happens in those households is that those people live very un-American lifestyles. Their beliefs are very much from the perspective of where they're from as opposed to where they are. Okay? So on paper, they are maybe a Black American per se, or an American that happens to be Black. But technically, if you look at it from a tribal standpoint or from ethnicity, it's completely different. So when you think about this and you say, okay, you know, am I African American? It's like, okay, do you know the culture in America of Black people? Do you know the history? My assumption is that most people don't know the history who aren't from this country. And it's not a diss to anybody, because in the broader scope of education in public schooling, or, you know, schooling growing up, they only take bits and pieces of our culture, of our history, and they put it in books, and like the safe ones, but it's never the full story. So we technically, unless we had parents that were very knowledgeable and aware of things, you know, we didn't learn about, you know, a lot of things until in a major way until we got to college, or until we became adults and we started self-discovering things. So I'm going to read off a couple of definitions. What is culture? Okay. Culture is the arts of other manifestations of the human intellectual, what does that say? Achievement regarded collectively. So when a person says, okay, do African American people have culture, or they think that we don't have culture, all it is like, it can be a little confusing. And the reason why it can be a little confusing is because it's not a monolithic perspective. I mean, just like in Africa, there's 54 countries in Africa. I think that's 54. There's 54 countries in Africa. And in those countries, they're all different. They have so many different tribes. Everybody lives their life kind of different. They may have some few similarities, but for the most part, they're very different. Right? It's the same thing with being in America. Like, all of the states are pretty much different. All of the states have their own state laws and things. Everybody's culture, even though there's an overall American culture and an overall Black American culture, our experience, our history, each area is influenced different by different things. So you will see that, you know, the people talk differently, or people's experiences may be a little different, or people's food may be just a little bit different, the same way in every place else, right? Okay. And then I'll read off the definition of ethnicity. So the fact or the state of belonging to a social group that has a common national and cultural tradition. So when you think about, okay, does a person belong to an ethnic background of an African American? And you think about it, it's like, okay, do you have a national commonality with a person who happens to be African American if you're not from this country? Do you eat the same foods as it, you know, as that person? Do you listen to the same music? Do you have the same ideas? Are your ideas about race even the same? I can tell you that that from my experience, the way that people perceive race in my experience when they're from America and they're not, is completely different. Doesn't matter what background they're from. So So what I believe what happens is that I've always said that America has been awesome with trying to erase people's identity. It's the thing that they did when first the Africans, our ancestors, came here with trying to erase our identity, or their identity and who they were. So I think what happens is that what the African American label allows us to be able to do is to tell a story just with two words. It's the same thing with a person, you know, saying that they are Ghanaian, right? So you can tell a story really quickly. So instead of being a person that says, oh, I'm African American, it's like, okay, I'm Ghanaian American. It lets a person know, hey, you're from Ghana, you were born in Ghana, or at least you have two parents that are from Ghana or one parent that's from Ghana and you happen to live in America. Now, I'm not saying that I have the right to tell people what they can and cannot identify with, but I think that what happens is that it'll be into a place of, you know, of confusion. But I think because of now, because relationships are getting a whole lot better amongst people in the diaspora, what happens is that I believe in part it's a way for individuals to kind of embrace where they are, right? And I'm gonna say that I feel like that, in my opinion at this time, that's what I feel is possibly the overall intention of individuals who do that, right? So some people may say like, oh, you know, well, I'm African and I'm an American, so technically I'm African American. Well, technically you don't really get to make that decision. And this is what I mean by that. I'm not even trying to be rude when I say this. It's like me saying I moved to South Africa, and regardless of wherever I live in the world, I'm gonna always be an American girl, like a Black American, African American girl. I'm gonna always be there. So even if I move to another country, that's what I am. That's who I am. That's what I'm proud of. Now, I can take on some of the culture in South Africa, but it doesn't make me that socially, per se, if that makes any sense. And the reason why I say that a person doesn't get to decide that, it's not even being ugly. It's like, look at it if the shoe was on the other foot. It's like, can I come to a South Africa, or can I come to a Congo, or can I come to a Burkina Faso and say, you know, for one of the tribes there, and say, okay, because I'm hanging around the people in this tribe and they live over here, I'm now a part of this tribe. Can I do that? Can I go and say and move to say Nigeria and say, you know what, I'm Nigerian now. Yes, my passport may say that I am either a permanent resident of Nigeria, but am I technically Nigerian? And are people going to receive me to be a Nigerian? Would I call myself an American Nigerian? People are going to probably think I'm crazy. They're probably just going to say, that American girl, she lives here. And they're like, oh, she's nice. But, but then I got to, like, you know, I may be an honorary Nigerian to them, maybe, depending, but technically I'm not. So it's like, okay, the people who made mention of these things in the public were people who were Black people in America. So the first time they said that it was mentioned was in a sermon in 1782. That's the first time that it's been, that it was heard of. And it was in a Pennsylvania journal, I think, based out of Harvard, if I'm not mistaken. And then the other mention of it was when Jesse Jackson went proclaiming it, stating that that would be the new term for Black people. So, you know, we went through the whole the Negro phase and, you know, just being black, and also to what else? And then the derogatory word of what people even still today try to make reference to any black person in the world, the term nigger. Yeah, which I think is insane, right? Now, I had another thing. Oh, I didn't even copy it down, but I'm gonna read it to you. It was something that Jesse Jackson said around the time when he was talking about the African-American label. So I'll read to you what he said. He says, just as we were called colored, but were not that, and then Negro, but not that, to be called black is just baseless. Black tells you about skin color and what side of town you live on, but African American evokes discussion of the world. He also states, every ethnic group in this country has a reference to some land base, some historical cultural base. So it was also another way of him trying, attempting to tie us to our original origins, that which I think personally, even though it's not, you know, something that's perfect for everybody, this is what I'm going with for now. So I think it's, you know, it's pretty cool. Also, there was a guy, I didn't catch his name, but he was also one of the scholars that was in on this discussion. And he stated, whenever I go to Africa, I feel like a person with a legitimate place to stand on this earth. This is the name for all the feelings I've had all these years. Now, this was done January the 31st, 1989. And the source is New York Times. Okay. So, with that being said, I'm just going to go over little things of what our culture and history, some of the things, because it seems like a lot of people don't know what it is. And when I say a lot of people, I mean even people who live, who were born in America. And I think one of the reasons why it's so confusing is going back to how people are influenced by so many different things. And like when you take places like, say, like your New Yorks or your Floridas, like in Miami, in that area. I don't know if I can say California because I haven't been there, and I don't know all of, but maybe I could probably use California as well, where you have a lot of like immigrants that are in those areas. And I would probably say, like, when I used to live in New York, it was, I could count on one hand how many times I met a person who was someone who was from America or who had parents that were from America. I mean, it was so weird. It was so odd. Like, I just didn't see it. And so it's so crazy because that immigrant population in New York influences heavily the culture of in New York City. Like, it influences it heavy, where you probably can't even really dissect like what is true, you know, black American culture that's, you know, that's in New York. So I think it can be, you know, it could definitely get like, you know, very confusing. Okay, so I'll go over some of the things with culture, like when it comes to culture in my experience and what I've been taught and how I see my African American experience. So I'll go over it. I didn't grow up around a lot of, you know, a bunch of different kinds of people. Like me growing up, there was like black people and white people, a few Spanish people, but it's like mostly like black and white. And it was so crazy how to really grow up with that type of demographic and to be as open-minded as I am. So Anyways, I'll start off. So you can use this and you can share with your friends, because I'm telling you, I am so tired. I am so sick and tired of hearing people say that they don't, you know, that we have no culture, regardless of wherever they're from, whether they're from here or whether they're not. I think, you know, it's so concerning to me, because I'm like, who raised, I don't know, like, especially like even some of the people that are from here, like it's like, who raised you? Like, were you, and like, how can you say that, you know, and you interact with individuals who are from other places and say that we have no culture? No, don't put that on us. Just say that you were not taught your own culture, or you don't know your own culture, but don't say it doesn't exist. Don't do that, because that's completely false. So, okay. So I'll go into, so we have foods, Black foods. Like, it's, if you think about it, like, our foods are, it's very, unique. Now, what you have is, in America, the Black people in America, is where you have Africans. And when I say Africans, what I mean is Black people who happen to be born in America. And I'm going to try to make that as simple as possible, so that it's not confusing, because I know I'm using a bunch of different, you know, labels, and so I don't want to confuse anybody. But all of our influence is from an African influence. All of it, whether we're in the Caribbean, whether we're in Brazil, whether we're in America, all of it. I mean, if you think about it, like, our foods, we may season them differently, and they may look a little differently. And, you know, I may put my rice, I cook my, you know, my beans and my rice separately. You know, in the Caribbean, they may cook it together. You know, it may be a little different. The seasoning may be a little different. So all of our influence, it's like, but it's packaged in an American perspective, because that's where we're born, right? That's where we're born. That's where, that's how we identify only. Okay. Or mostly. Okay. Hip hop is one of them. And I know people, a lot of people only know really our popular culture and say, oh, that's your culture. That's what you all are known for. Now, you know, hip hop, the early parts of hip hop, it wasn't necessarily just like your regular African Americans. It was also Caribbean Americans too. Individuals who were either first generation Caribbeans, or who had parents or grandparents that were, right? That was a part of that original hip hop time, based in New York, right? Okay, so we have R&B. This is, and I'm talking about, this is music, but I'm going to get into other things as well. Religion is a part of our culture. Christianity, you know, it was basically shoved on us. when the our first ancestor got over here, you know, they didn't really have a choice. So, that's a part of our culture. Greek life, when I'm talking about Greek life, meaning that the sororities, the fraternities, that is major in Black culture. Like, that is a huge, huge thing even today. I'm not Greek, by the way, but yeah, it's big. It's still big for African Americans. Our slang, you know, people try to talk, talk trash about Ebonics or slang or whatever, our informal way of communicating. But everybody has a way of communicating with one another that's not proper English. Whether it's Creole, African Creole, whether it's Haitian Creole, whether it is Patois, whether it is... I don't want to misspeak, or any other, everyone has it. So we got it too. Okay. So that's a part of our culture.
to have our informal way of how we speak, our informal dialect. Our clothing, it's a part of our culture and the way in which we dress. Our holidays, we got a bunch of holidays. I think we actually need some more though. I don't think we have enough. Family, let me tell you, family is huge in the Black American experience, the African American experience, huge. And I'm not just talking about like your mama and your daddy and your sister and your brother. I'm talking about your cousins and your aunties and your uncles. I mean, it is a huge influence. Like, family is like really, really, really big. I'm not saying that that's everybody's experience, but I am saying that that is something that is very common. Like, our family reunions, our family get-togethers, sticking with family, fellowshipping, sticking together through thick and thin. That is like huge, and I love that. Let's see, sports. We got sports. That's a part of our culture as well. And the crazy thing about it is that a lot of these things came about is because we didn't have spaces that would allow us to be in, that were created for us. And they were not created for us, and neither were we allowed to be a part of them, like, at all. Like, we just were not. we were not allowed. Now, these are just only a few things that I named. Sometimes when people say, okay, what's up, African American culture, they want you to give like a quick list. It's like, okay, I mean, do you have time? Because we probably need to take a class. I need a couple of hours so we can go over these things. I'm trying to think of some other stuff. I think that's it for culture for right now. And that's only like a few things. Now, another thing too is, I'll say, Black code. Now, when I'm talking about Black code, I'm not talking about Black codes. I'm talking about how you can see a person that's a complete stranger that happens to be Black, and you all have this understanding of things that you think are a way in how you all can relate with one another. That's one of the things that I love. That's definitely one of the things that I love, how you can meet a complete stranger and you all could talk about certain things, and you could do it in a way. Like, I met this girl today, she was a complete stranger. I was working, and we were talking about something that we both had in common, and we just had like this instant familiarity with one another, where we could just literally just be very transparent with one another. And it's not that I can do it with other, that I can't do it with other groups. It's just that it's like we have this language where we understand certain things, and, you know, and there's certain things that we may agree on, you know, or whatever. So that's one of the things. Okay, so I'll go into history, and I'm just naming off some things. There's so much, because when I say there's so much, I literally just probably picked 15 things randomly. So this is not at all a full story. So if you hear of anything until I go and do some more episodes, I would definitely recommend you looking it up and researching it for yourself. You'll find out a lot of cool things. You know what I forgot about? I didn't forget about it because I'm just now getting on it. I thought I had missed it. Okay. The Middle Passage is a part of our history. Okay.
The Americo-Liberians is a part of our history. Just found that out a couple of days ago. I'm going to do a full episode on that one. But I got to get some more. I want to do get some more research done with that one before I go talking about that. Because I don't want to put out any wrong information. We got in our history, as far as entertainment, we got ragtime, we got jazz, blues, swing, doo-wop, soul, rock and roll. Our spirituality, that's a part of our history. Basically, you know, when they were, we was bringing our African spirituality with us when, you know, our ancestors did, and how we were forbidden to practice it. Our churches are a part of our history, and how the church was basically a safe space, or a semi-safe space, excuse me, for Black people to talk about very controversial topics pertaining to race. Our HBCUs, you know why those were created. They were just not letting Black kids, you know, in. Our scholars, all of our scholars that they try not to mention, because there's so many of them. Our voting rights, MLK, Malcolm X, Louis Farrakhan, just to name a few, the Black Panther Party. There's so many. That like there's so much stuff. So when you think about like some of these things that I mentioned, and you think about, and these are only a few. This doesn't even get, and even with the history part, I really didn't. Did I say it? I don't think I said the NAACP either. But if I didn't say it, I'm saying it now. There's so many, all of our rebellions that we went through, like how when Kanye went and made that stupid comment saying that slavery was a choice, being very ignorant. There's so many rebellions that happen. Like there's so many. I mean, we're so connected in the diaspora, but still separate. And when I say separate, I don't mean like separate, like we're separated and not unified. What I'm saying is that we are, our origins connect us, but where we are or where we was born has influenced how we live, our ideas, and how we think. You know, it influences it to some degree. Now, that was something else that I wanted to mention. So it's kind of like, so some people may say, like, okay, well, are biracial people considered African American? In America, they are. Yeah. Biracial people are. Some people may choose to self-identify as something else, but America is going to label you, even though they say that the one drop rule is still not popular. The one drop rule is still ever so present. It's like when that guy, I don't know if it's his name. Let me look him up. Cause I don't want to say the wrong name. I want to say his name is Jake Tapper. Let me see. Yeah, I think that was Jake Tapper. He was interviewing Kamala Harris, and he made a reference that she was the first Black woman to run for president or something like that. And it's like Kamala Harris is Jamaican Indian American, I think. I don't know how she identifies, but yeah, it doesn't mean that he's wrong or anything like that. It just goes to show you how he basically erased her complete identity. But you know, but you know, for the sake of, you know, of a quick identification, I guess maybe it works. But it's funny because the girl, what's the girl's name that that beat Serena? Let me look up her name because I forget her name. I'm following her on Instagram. I'm sure her name will come up when I search out. I can't think of the Asian girl's name that beat Serena. Oh, Naomi. Osaka. So, you know, when they were trying to put a label on her that she didn't want, she basically corrected these people that were interviewing her to make sure she didn't erase any part of who she was. I mean, she's a beautiful girl with a, I mean, that's awesome and so talented. I think that that's great that she didn't let someone else tell her what she was. And she didn't mind, even in an interview, letting them know. And I just thought that that was really dope and really, really cool that she did that. So, anyways, I want to know what you all think. I think that's all I have for now. I hope y'all enjoyed it. You all learned something. I'm probably going to go back and do another one. So be looking for it in the very, very, very near future. And you all be well. Thank you so much. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at @Caldwell_Shelly and on Instagram at @ShellyDCaldwell. And I'll see y'all next time. Bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.